You're listening to Day 4 of Trade Radio 2013. The list manager, Terry Wallace, and Damien Barrett with you to take you all the way through to 5 o'clock with all the player movement news. We have had a big day, Terry, and I do want to get your views on all the developments of the day. But right now, though, on the line, the man who has pulled off football's biggest deal ever, Liam Pickering, player agent to Buddy Franklin, the man who worked with the Sydney Swans on getting Franklin, a $10 million deal over 9 seasons. Liam Pickering has not spoken publicly, Terry, and I welcome you to the program. And as I do, I also welcome Liam Pickering himself, who has not spoken publicly about this deal until now. Pickers, we appreciate you joining us on Trade Radio. It's been a pretty big 48 hours, not just for Buddy, but for yourself.
Oh, that is Damo, and good to be talking to you on Plough. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind the last couple of days, I guess, since the news broke that Sydney was his club of choice going forward. So, yeah, it's been a big couple of days, but, you know, that's the job we do.
Take us through it, Pickers. A lot of commentary around how it happened that the Swans trumped the GWS team. Andrew Wyland, the Swans CEO, revealed that you made contact with him after last year's grand final, in the week after last year's grand final. Let's deal with it chronologically. Yeah, take us through what happened from that moment, please.
Well, I think you probably go back a little bit earlier than that again, I guess, Dana, as well, because remember Buddy had that, obviously lost his licence for speeding and the car crash and that type of thing, and I guess he started to get a little bit over Melbourne, if you like, when he had the media propped outside his house for a week or two, and then sort of got people dropping off stuff to his doorstep, and he couldn't stay at his own home for probably, you know, a 2 or 3 week period. So at that stage, it started to get a little bit on top of him. So that was when I think initially thought maybe the Melbourne bubble's not for me. So post-season, I did speak to Andrew and just threw it up hypothetically. Unbeknownst to me, they were having a crack at Kurt Tippett. So we sort of let it lie really a little bit from there, and that was pretty much where it was at. So, we certainly spoke to them about the fact that if he was to leave Hawthorn, it would be for Sydney only, because that's where he wanted to live. That's pretty much how it all started. And then I guess it got through to the stage where, it was a bit of a revisit job in the middle of the year when we were talking to the Giants and also Hawthorn. I know that they were going to struggle, but I just asked the question, and that was where we sort of started moving, probably mid-season.
When was the 9-year deal component thrown in?
It was finalised in September, but it took a while to actually get the figures done and got to work out how they could get the deal that could get him up to Sydney, I guess. So, but his preference was always to play at the Swans. The Giants were very good, and I understand they were disappointed, but their process was really good. So I did feel a bit for the Giants. Obviously Hawthorn as well. But the Hawks had got their head around it, I guess, by the end of July when they put a time frame on the fact that, 31st of July they're going to have to start looking at taking it off the table and re-looking at it later in the year. So the Swans offer came through in September, so it wasn't 12 months ago like some people have reported.
Did you suggest the 9 years to them, or did they come to you with that?
Well, I think to get the numbers we needed to get to get him up there, we talked about when we initially flagged it with Andrew again in the middle of the year. We talked about it having to be something like an Alistair Lynch type deal. So I wasn't expecting initially it to be 9 years, but to get to where we wanted to get to, that was how they constructed the deal. So it is a long deal, obviously. So I haven't seen one that long since Lynchy. So it was, when I first saw it, I thought, wow. It is a long term, but he's the sort of player that I think can play that long. So, it was a good result, and it's obviously a very good offer.
I'll let Terry Wallace have a few questions at you in a moment, Picks, but do you honestly believe, and does he honestly believe, as we sit here today, just after the grand final just gone, he's 27 at the start of next year, that he will be playing football for the next 9 seasons?
Okay.
A lot of people are speculating that that's not the case, and that it's a deal to get the figure to $10 million.
Yeah, but it's not a front-ended deal, Damo. It's a back-ended deal. So this is what people don't understand. His first couple of years, he'd be getting less money than he's getting at Hawthorn now. So to get him up there, I mean, if he decides after 7 years or 8 years to retire, well, he doesn't get the money. I mean, as simple as that. So I'm very confident he's going to be able to play the 9 years that's on the contract.
Ken Wood had a big chat to you yesterday, and we believe also Buddy Franklin. He'll be speaking to Andrew Ireland and other people. GWS officials are aggrieved at what's happened here. Do you feel that you got through the Ken Wood interrogation yesterday?
Oh, it wasn't really an interrogation. It was just a bit of a summary of how the deal was constructed, which is pretty much what I'm telling you now. So I'm really confident. There's nothing we've done untoward. I mean, apart from probably upset the Giants, well, there's nothing. The money's in the cap. There's no third-party arrangement. There's none of that. The money's in their salary cap. So the Swans are the ones taking the risk, I guess, if Buddy does get injured. But, you know, when that question was asked to me, well, what happens if he doesn't need? Well, he does rehab, like every other player that doesn't need. So, as I said, I'm confident that he's going to be able to play the period. And I wouldn't, you wouldn't have accepted it if you didn't think he could do it. It is a once-in-a-lifetime type deal for Bud. The chat I had with Ken yesterday and with Brett Clody, I think, which Buddy had as well. I mean, we just put the cards on the table and this is how it all went down and, that's it. So I'm really comfortable with it.
Pickers, we have a lot of Hawthorn supporters sitting out there. We can argue the COLA allowances that Sydney have got in place until we're blue in the face. But when you sit back with Hawthorn supporters who, perhaps had got their heads around the fact that he might have been going to the Giants to help out a newly formed club, all of a sudden they're seeing him in the opposition colours that they've played in a grand final against in the last 12 months and that have finished top four, obviously a lot harder for them to get their heads around. My take's actually different than that. My take on it is, well, if he's going to go up to Sydney, he still wants to play in a good footy team. Why wouldn't he be actually sourcing out and finding out whether Sydney could fit him in?
Well, and that's it. And that's basically it. And to be fair, we actually spoke to, I did speak to the Swans before the Giants contacted me. So whilst obviously it was kept very confidential throughout the course of the year, he wants to play in finals. And look, the Giants are going to be a really good team. Everyone knows that, but it'll be a harder build. The Swans play in front of, when the stadium's finished, they're going to play in front of four houses every week, which he's used to. So, in the end, there's two teams in Sydney. So he had to play with one of them if he wanted to leave Melbourne, which is the reason he left Hawthorn. It's nothing to do with the Hawthorn Footy Club. I think we've seen that in the last few weeks. And he's been pretty emotional about it all. But, if he wants to go and live in a city, which is Sydney, he's got two options, which are the Giants and Sydney. And he ended up wanting to play with the Swans. So that's pretty much where it sits.
When did Buddy know that he was going to be a Swans player?
Well, it's probably one you have to ask him, but, we went through, obviously, the offer came through. By the time it was finally constructed and we worked through it all, and he didn't really want to know about it. I think it was 13th of September, I think it finally got sent through. Now, I already knew what the numbers were going to look like, but I didn't know sent that on to Buddy until the 13th of September, which meant that, he was then in the middle of finals. So he basically said, well, mate, we'll talk about it afterwards. I'm not going to disrupt what we're trying to do here. So his focus was purely on playing for the Hawks and trying to win a flag. So as soon as the grand final was over, he just asked the question, has anything changed? He said, I want to go and live in Sydney. So that was pretty much where it was at.
I was going to say, how do you have those conversations between grand final day, fitting in all the celebrations over the next couple of days? You must have been a genius to track him down.
Well, I did well. He wasn't talking a lot of sense the first time I spoke, I must say. But, I think he'd already made his mind up. He just didn't want to discuss it because he just didn't want to, he didn't want to think about anything except for Hawthorn leading into that game. And, but I think he had made his mind up. But, I think I sent him through the offer. I think it was, from memory, I think it's the 13th of September. So even then, the Swans were still in the final. So, it was a really tricky one. And Swans didn't want to talk about it really either. So Andrew Ireland and I were the ones doing all the stuff. And Buddy, was basically just getting out playing footy and, and I didn't really talk to him too much about it at all during the final.
Pickers, I've been through a similar situation with Hawthorn where I went out on grand final day actually knowing that it would be my last game that I would play and whether Buddy had ticked things off or whether he hadn't. I think in his own mindset, he would have known that that was the case, that he was running out in the Hawthorn jumper for the last time. He must have been really satisfied. And if you had the opportunity of speaking to him, if they'd lost and therefore they'd lost two grand finals in a row, the decision was still there, probably the same decision was still there to be made, would have been a lot more difficult. But at least finishing on that high note must have been a great thing for him.
Yeah, well, it was. And that's the thing. That's why I think he's been pretty emotional. He was a bit emotional yesterday when I spoke to him again because he'd been out to the club to sign a whole lot of memorabilia for winning the flag. And he'd seen all the boys and whatever. But he'd already obviously sat down with Clarko and also the leadership group with Hodgie and Ruff and Louie and those guys that are always really good mates. So... it was. It was pretty tough, but I think he played his guts out on Saturday. A bit like, I guess, Gary Ablett did in his last game for Geelong. You go out there and, Gav had 40 touches to three-quarter time in that prelim loss to Collingwood. So you want to leave it all on the field, and I think he did that on the weekend. And whilst he didn't kick five or six goals, I think he was a pretty important player on the day.
You managed the coach, Alistair Clarkson, as well as Buddy Franklin. How difficult was that for you personally to be involved in I suppose, removing from his list the best player?
We had a really good chat about it early in the year, like really early in the year, about where it was at. And I remember sitting around at Jason Dunstall's house with Jason and Mark Evans at the time and Graham Wright, and Buddy, obviously. And we were talking about Bud didn't want to talk about his contract all year, wanted to put it off the negotiation. So that obviously Hawthorn put it out there early. And, I had a couple of really good discussions with Alistair about it. But he's been great through the whole process. And even post the decision, I guess he's probably shocked it was Sydney. But he knew, he probably in his own mind thought he was going. And Hawthorn pretty much said that to me for the last, little period, last couple of months. And I said to, and I've said this all year, and I said it to Hawthorn, I said it to also Matthew, at the Giants. You've got to plan without it. You've got to have a contingency if he doesn't get there or he doesn't start. Not just because of Sydney, because he could have changed his mind at any time. That was the thing that this wasn't locked in. This is the thing that I guess people don't understand. He could have quite easily, and to be perfectly honest, I always thought, that he would be the one that would, once he's, with his teammates and happy and all that sort of stuff, I thought he might, say to me, listen, mate, I'm not going anywhere, which was always available. So once Hawthorn had the offer off the table, officially on the 31st of July, I reckon I met with Graham Wright once a week probably or once a fortnight for, I guess, 3 months.
Did they know about Swans pickers?
No, I couldn't talk to them about, the Swans having some interest at that stage. And, I just said, when the offer comes through, you don't really want to, I couldn't say to them leading into a finals. I mean, because, if I tell any one of their guys, they've got an obligation to talk to the coach.
Yep.
And I don't want to lie, I'm not lying to Clarko, but I just don't want to, I didn't want to table with the club, leading into the finals, because we saw what happened when Mike mentioned the fact that Clarko might go to West Coast. I mean, that was a disruption in grand final week he didn't need.
Mentioned Dave Matthews there a moment ago. He's not happy with you. He's banging doors down at the AFL and in some ways has got this investigation to happen. Do you feel as though he's got reason to be annoyed with how it was handled from Buddy Franklin's perspective?
Oh, we can be annoyed. I mean, that's the game we're in. But, he's never, he's always been very good to deal with. And, in the end, I look after Tom Boyd. So, he's going to go number one, you'd think. So, at the end of the day, we've got to have a relationship. I mean, we have disagreements in this game. I mean, not everyone thinks you're a good bloke. In fact, a lot of the time they think you're a prick, but excuse the French. But, a lot of people, these disagreements. You've got to get on with life, and you've got to get on with business, and that is business. So I understand he's annoyed. I do, and I feel for the Giants in that, from that perspective. But there's not much I can do about it. I'm employed by Buddy Franklin. Let's get that on the record.
Yep.
I don't employ him. He employs me. So I'm doing what he wants me to do.
You mentioned,
like I would with Alistair Clarkson, the coach.
You mentioned before, it is a back-ended deal. Is the big money amongst this $10 million over the 9 years coming in years 4, 5, and 6?
Well, I'm not going to go into how the term's structured, don't know, because I don't need to. But fair to say that, as I said earlier, the first two years, it will be less than what he's getting now at Hawthorn.
So even that, though, is strange to the outsider to stomach, that he's going to play for less money for 2014 and 15 than he would have got had he stayed at Hawthorn. I know there's a bigger picture at play here, but that seems strange. Do you expect the ambassadorial money to come as well as the $10 million?
Well, I don't, because I've never ever mentioned it. I've never spoken to them to the AFL. I don't think the AFL are all that thrilled about the fact he's gone to Swans instead of the Giants, but... Now, as I said, we've structured this deal up based on what can fit in the salary cap. And what those numbers that have been reported are right are inside the cap.
Yep.
So I'm very comfortable with the deal he's got. The ambassadorial roles, well, if they don't come, they don't come. It doesn't particularly bother me.
Yep.
We've got a job as a management company to source, outside deals for him anyway. That's what we expect to do. And he's got a heap of good partners, Adidas and Mac Boots and, a number of Foxtel and all that sort of stuff. So he's got a number of great partners anyway.
Yep.
So there's never a shortage of opportunities for Buddy that I can create myself without the AFL's in. So
do you expect Ken Wood's investigation to throw any curveball into this 9-year deal?
No, not at all.
So tomorrow morning when free agency starts, the formal offer comes and it's accepted as far as you can tell?
Well, I can't see what the issue would be. I mean, as I've stated a number of times, the money is in the cap. Hmm. It's in black and white. If he decides to walk away from the contract, he's not getting paid.
Yep.
So if he decides he's had enough after 6 years, well, you know what, bud? There goes your money, mate.
Will he go to the Hawks' best and fairest biggers?
I'm not sure. I probably doubt it, to be honest, though, mate.
Yep. Does he feel he needs to say anything else to Hawthorn supporters? I know he made a couple of comments on the run yesterday, but I mean, I know how much he loves Hawthorn, and while he's made the decision to leave and people look at that as being ruthless, he's got every right to make that, but does he feel he needs to say something?
I think he will. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll put something out. He'll front cameras at some stage himself anyway, but he did get doorstopped yesterday, which I heard a lot of people say, it's a strange time to do a press conference. Well, it was hardly a press conference.
Yep.
If it was, he wouldn't be wearing the clothes he was wearing. So, but I think people have just got to get their heads around. This is free agency. Everyone wanted it. The players wanted it. Everyone had picked it off. The clubs, the AFL. This is free agency, how it works. The Hawks, he's not a Sydney player yet. Excuse me. The Hawthorn has got the right to match this offer.
So, they're not going to match it, though, Pickers, are they?
Well, I don't know. They'll be the ones that... It doesn't appear so, but they can. And if they match it, well, he'll be at Hawthorn next year and they'll be paying him exactly what the deal is. So,
and Pickers, what's your take on where the compensation would sit from the AFL? What do you think it really should be? Because we keep hearing varying situations with this, that if they don't match the offer, that it's a first-round draft pick, as Brendan Goddard was last year, but it'd be an inferior one to Brendan's because of where Hawthorn finished.
Yeah.
Others are telling me that certainly the AFL have the ability of giving Hawthorn a couple of first-round draft picks if they choose.
Well, I'd like to see Hawthorn get, a really good deal out of it, obviously. We'd all like that. But I'm not sure how the AFL rules work. That's something that you'd have to ask, the guys at the AFL. But, I think certainly he's worth more than, a compensation pick for a player of his ability and his marketability. So I would think the Hawthorn, if it's all they get for him, they'll be really disappointed.
Hey, Pickers, you did really well to get through the whole year without anyone really having any hint of it being the Swans that were the team front and square in Buddy's thoughts, but you did give an interview on SEN on August 7. I know it's a slip of the tongue, but let's just have a listen to that now.
Because
it's got a new context now.
The time's right for them if they think that's the right thing to do, and they'll take an offer, but at the moment, the only offer I've been dealing with is the Swans, is the Hawks one. Sorry?
Oh, did you say the Swans?
No, I'm looking at you. Jeez. It's trying to be good luck with that.
You seem to stop the word Swans pretty quickly there, Piggies.
Well, I did. I wasn't actually concentrating. That was the problem. I hate hearing my own voice. Please don't play anything. Get back down the line of me. I hate my voice.
No, well, look, thanks for joining us today. And we know you haven't spoken publicly about this since, and we do appreciate you giving an insight and a background to what happened. And as you say, and as we keep saying over the 4 weeks of Trade Radio, every player has got a right to do what he wants to do, and you're representing Buddy Franklin, and he wanted to go to the Swans, and you just executed that, so we do thank you for that. And as we let you go, Paul Chapman, another good friend of yours as a manager, do you know anything about where he's going to be next year?
No updates at this stage. They've got their BNF tonight, so... he'll be playing somewhere. I'm just not sure it'll be at Geelong. I'd love it to be, but I don't think it will be, mate. So.
Richmond?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the other clubs. I mean, I've got a couple that I've been speaking to, so he'll find a home because he's too good a footballer, but
yep.
Not sure it'll be at the Cats, unfortunately. I'd love to have seen him finish his career there, but it doesn't appear that that's going to be the case, even though there's a petition of 10,000 going around to keep Chappie at Geelong. I'm not sure the cat it'll actually work. So, I think you might be playing somewhere else next year, which is a bit disappointing.
Mate, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
No worries. Enjoy.
Liam Pickering, manager of Buddy Franklin. There was a fair bit to digest, I reckon, there, Terry. And, what happens next? And maybe not attending the best and fairest, which you and I can discuss after this.
I'd like to see him do something publicly surrounding the Hawthorn people. I think that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, I think he feels he does have to do something on that front. But how he does it and when he does it and what form it's in, it's up to him, obviously. But we'll take a break now on Trade Radio.